Well, I would like first to thank the organizers. And well, it's nice. Well, the title is changed, but the subject, I'm speaking about the same thing. Well, it's I'm very glad to come to a conference where one, which is in honor of Ramon. And if it's in honor of Ramon, I have to start with something in Catalan. Well, but you look at the phrase there. Well, it's old Catalan. It's not. It's old Catalan. I didn't make a typo. I copied and pasted. So it's old Catalan. And well, my understanding of Camel is that you should know indeed that the paradise is a place which is, in the Latin translation, that was footnote in Latin, perfectissimus. So, well, now the question is here, is Ramon in paradise? Well, maybe he's not. Well, you can see paradise cannot be reached, but there is, you see, there is something which is a book from the 12th century, which was very popular, which was a travel of this saint to paradise. He asked God to let him see paradise before he dies. And he took a few monks with him, so it's possible to get that. And before he went on his way to get to paradise, he went to a hermit who went with someone who they didn't get to paradise, but they got close to paradise. So here is a text in French. Well, again, it's not actual French, it's old French. In fact, it's Anglo-Norman. And what it says is that is my, I found the text translated to the modern French, and then I translated it in. So they arrived to an island which was so close to paradise that they could smell the flowers, perfume of the flowers from paradise, and that was like food for them. They didn't need to eat. And they could hear the angels sing. So, and then I'll come now to my title with approaching. So, what I want is not to approach the paradise of our paradise solving the Schrödinger equation, but ways of getting close to it. And that's also the connection with the adiabatic connection. So, okay, so I will now say something about the approach, and then you will see some boring numerical results and something, well, just some kind of conclusion. And those who hope to have now a solution and they have just to go to the computers and program this and they will solve the Schrödinger equation or smell the angels of... well, I must discourage them from the start. So. Well, my idea is something which is now, I'm interested, I tried yesterday, I tried this morning to catch Jacek and to tell me what he knows about systems where the Schrödinger equation are accurately solvable, can get good results. So I suppose that, well, I don't worry for the moment about that. I suppose that there are some model Hamiltonians, and I will give some numerical results, which are not very serious. And then from this, you use some numerical method to approach the exact result. So we have a series of Hamiltonians which go towards a real Hamiltonian, and then you kind of extrapolate to the exact result. So that's the idea. The physical. So you see, I put here, I characterize the model by a number, which I call mu. So I have an Hamiltonian which depends on this parameter. So I show the model equation. And I take the convention infinity, which we cannot reach, not in our lifetime. This is paradise, so the exact Schrödinger equation. So I suppose that this model system is known, but I don't know how to get from the model system to the exact energy, how to make this correction. That's what I don't know. And one exception is just at infinity, where I need no correction, but this is useless. However, if as all models give the same energy, the difference of corrections between two models has to equal with a minus sign the difference of the energy of the models. It's very simple. Just I subtract the two equations. And if a derivative exists, I don't have to assume. I will later use a situation where I assume that the derivative exists. So in this case, well, we don't have to have derivatives, but well, I suppose that we have a derivative, then I have this relationship with derivative. And you can take second differences if you want, or second derivatives, and so on. So in fact, I'm very tempted by extrapolation techniques. I talked with a mathematician about many years ago something. He didn't want to discuss with me about that. And that reminded me I wanted to discuss with him also about FXC, just to make the relation to the previous talk and the existence of the derivative. And he said, you want to discuss with me with the quantity of the second derivative of a quantity for which we don't even know the existence of the first derivative. So this was stopped. So extrapolation said, oh, that's extrapolation, but not zero. So, okay. I see. But well, let us look at this adiabatic connection. If you integrate this correction from mu zero to infinity, so we get the value at infinity zero, and we get just this correction. So this is a adiabatic connection. As we know that this is minus this, well, we can use these models to obtain this. Of course, we have to know these models from mu zero to infinity. So it looks like, well, we need a lot of work to do. But we can say, well, maybe I can make some numerical approximation, form some numerical approximation, if I have luck, I need a few points. And these points should be far enough from the real things where things work. So if this works, well, it can have advantages. One advantage was just raised by the previous talk is size consistency. So if I use these models which are size consistent, well, the derivatives are also size consistent, and the linear combination of size consistent quantity size consistent. How is it? Can I make some kind of systematic improvement? Well, it depends how much money I have, but if I take more and more points, I am supposed to get more precise, and I can even make error estimates. I just take a book of numerical mathematics and read about it. I have not done it yet. But. Well, can be states identified? If the Hamiltonian has the same model Hamiltonian, has the same system as the physical Hamiltonian, the same symmetries, which is. In fact, in all examples which I will give later, it's like this. Can I treat excited states? Well, I was working with Hamiltonian. Why should this not work for excited states? I treat it the same with Schrödinger equations. And this is now the important difference from DFT. So we are using the adiabatic connection with DFT. And I would like to say, which is something, I think this is a basic idea, and this is what I had in mind when I got to this. That the type, so if I know the type of behavior, if I know that this for large mu, or so by the large, these derivatives have a known behavior, I can put this behavior into the integrand, no matter what the coefficients are. What density functionals do, they suppose that I can transfer these coefficients in a way from some system. For example, LDA can transfer this behavior from the uniform electron gas. And I want a scheme where the system itself decides about this behavior. I don't want to plug it in. So that was the thing which prompted me to go into this way. So it was a way which I wanted to have. It's exactly the size consistency issue we were discussing before. And I wanted to have something which is makes it automatically. Well, is it useful? Well, it can be only, also, as I said, if I can get these derivatives, now if I stay with the adiabatic correction, not extrapolation, I speak about these derivatives, at these points can be accurate and also inexpensive. So that's, and only if I have a few points, because otherwise if I add more and more points and closer to the exact value, it will be unnecessarily, it will become more expensive. So. Well, now let me discuss these points in a, and see where I see have some reserves. I'm not sure. Well, can it be accurate and inexpensive? Inexpensive, yes. So we have some numerical experience, or a paper published a few years ago with Claudine Gutley. And so you reduce, you make a calculation on orbital space, which is larger and larger and larger. So that's a way to approach this problem. You can use, like Gustavo told us yesterday, about this Hartree-Fock-Bogoliubov type Hamiltonian. So you can think of, this is something which you can play with. You can work with modified interactions. So Peter Gill and Panas had also started thinking about in this way, and we also worked with this. And this was, so Kimihiko Hirao had yesterday talk, and also David Tozer, and so about these range-separated hybrids. But we do it in a slightly different way, so we don't stay with a single Slater determinant. We allow the wave function also to have a many-body wave function. I will come in a moment to this point again. So our experience was, so if this range separation parameter is small, one Slater determinant is enough. But as this parameter increases, you need more and more, a more and more elaborate wave function. And you don't want it to get very large. Now, so this is, the next point is, so about the few points needed. So if there are few points, well, you can say an order n calculation stays an order calculation. But only if there is no increase with this number of points. If there is an increase, as I said before, this mu gets too large, then you calculate, solve several times the Schrödinger equation. You don't want it. And the thing I'm most afraid of is the error propagation. For example, you say, well, I stay with a single Slater determinant that I extrapolate. Well, you will get to Hartree-Fock. So this is a question mark. Now, the comparison with things we already know. One point is, I see it as a kind of reconciliation between Slater's and Kohn's view of using density functional. Because here, you see, we determine, give a potential, sort of some, you give a Hamiltonian in the style Slater has seen it. And I find it, we don't specify EXC. And I think this might be useful because Evert Jahn has, I think 15 years ago or something, 16 years ago, it was this, so started looking, we can have this with Robert van Leuven, that we can produce a potentials from our experience with Kohn-Sham potentials, which are useful, but we don't know what the functional is, we don't know the functional derivative of it. It's not the functional derivative of something, we don't know how we, but we can construct some potentials which are useful. The second point is about, also related to their work, also about 15 years ago. They thought something which was similar. So you want to, you have the Kohn-Sham potential, but for different densities, and then you reconstruct by also an adiabatic connection, the exchange correlation energy. And I think here the advantage is that we don't specify a density, and we don't have this inverse problem we heard with the optimized effective potential and the finite Bayes set error, and discussions like we heard yesterday. So, well, how to construct the numerical subgroup? So you give the potential, you choose one. Now, is it like a hybrid function? There's, of course, there's a connection because this is This is also related to Axel's view when he presented hybrid functionals. He presented them from the adiabatic connection point of view. That's how he introduced it. But here again, there's no explicitly density functional construct, so I don't say that at some point for the real system, some approximation is better or good or something. So it's related to all this density functional way of thinking. That's where I come from, but it's not exactly all of this. Now, I make the summary of this approach. So you choose some Hamiltonian, you find the energy or the derivatives or so, and then you extrapolate to the exact energy. And what I will do the extrapolation will be by this numerical integration. So that's the approach. Now, I have to choose some model like Hamiltonian for some numerical application. And well, in fact, I do something here, maybe because it's also a conference about DFT. So I don't know what to choose now. I have to choose something I'm used to. I don't want to make too much steps to make too large jumps. So I change for the kinetic energy, the kinetic energy operator. For the interaction, I change this error function, as we heard a few times. And the potential, I choose the LDA potential. So I make an LDA, so there's an LDA type potential. But I don't put any spin polarization in it, because Paula told us yesterday, Paula Mort-Sanchez, that we have with this type of potentials, we have problems with spin polarization. So even for the hydrogen atoms, there will be no spin polarization. And this is to avoid size consistency problem. Now, there was a work started with Peter Gill and with also in Paris. I think the last clarification of this for correlation was done by Paula a few years ago. Paula Gori-Giorgi. And where they say that, so in DFT with this type of approach, you have this behavior when this mu gets larger. So you know analytically that this is the case. So now let us devise a scheme. So this you have here, this is just three integration rules I take, it is something, I don't know if they have, so one way, if your integrand is of this type, you don't know what C is, but you want to integrate it exactly, you approximate it, you have to determine, and you want to use only the endpoint, the function, so the derivative, as the derivative of the energy, as in the integrand at the endpoint, can determine the weight, and the weight is this value. So if you want to use one point, but you don't specify that this is an endpoint, there's a different integration rule which determines you can make it correct for two terms by specifying both the weight and the point. So these are just integration rules. You just generate them very easily. If you want one endpoint plus one point, you have the weights and the supplementary point. And you see that the new point now gets in between mu zero and infinity. Here's 1.5 times this value, 2 times this endpoint value. But we should remember that the cost will increase not only with the number of points, but also with this value. So I will not get to a higher number of points. Just I look at one or two point integrations. It's not, not very pretentious, no? So these are the formulas. These are the formulas I use. I will compute the energy this way. I have a model, mu zero, and I use these three formulas for it. And these are also the color codes, which I will use in the plot. Now, I test only the numerical approximation. So what I'm doing is I'm doing a calculation with there are two electron or one electron system. So I do it exactly. So I know the exact correction. I will look at the error, and then I make the approximation using the exact derivative. I check only one thing now, the numerical approximation. Don't want to make mixed errors. So I use MolPro. It's just you take the output from MolPro. It has this range separation stuff. You take the output, you put the numbers, you take the energy, you interpolate with Mathematica. So I take a basis set so I can get, suppose I'm in, have enough accuracy. And well, you will see some numerical noise. I don't care about it. It's just beyond what I want to look at. So the results, hydrogen atom. Now, this is just to show the integrand. So we have, this is the correction I need. So if I start from no interaction to the Schrodinger equation, you see here it. That's in atomic units, it's 0.25, something like that. You see here the spin polarized LDA, this dotted line, which is quite close. The spin unpolarized is quite bad. And you have here three values, which go to three curves, which go to zero. These are the three approximations, and they go to zero because I assumed, I made my integration rule to be right over there. And it's automatically, if you go back to the weights, it has, the weights have some kind to compensate the divergence, and it's, but the integrand, so the function goes to a finite value, so it just brings everything to zero. So that's mathematics, so I know it's here bad. I can think about ways, so one can think about ways to improve it, but it's not so much. I take these rules I gave before. So I know here it will be bad. People, when they use range-separated systems, they are above just in this range here. So these are the values they are looking at in the application. So let us look in more detail to this. So look at total energy errors. So I stay in this range, which was in the plot before, because I want to have some sizable correction. I will have spin polarized only for hydrogen, spin unpolarized only for hydrogen, spin polarized just to compare with, and this three integration rule. And I will put horizontal lines, dotted lines for the errors, plus or minus 1 kcal per mole. So you see, that's, I look now at the errors. This is an error in spin. Polarized LDA, LSDA, that's LDA, and these are these which go away. And these are the errors. Well, just let us blow it up. So all plots from now on will be like this. So I blow up, chemical accuracy is in between here. And so this is unpolarized, polarized LDA, and these are the three approximations. And you will see now what you probably have to look at when you will see this plot is not at this correction, because they more or less look all the same. They work up to a point and then they start to blow up. But how LDA behaves. So I don't want to look at this because I don't have size consistency. But now let us before we look at this, I just want to point out what I said. So which are the points? So if I use, to, in order to have chemical accuracy, in LDA, I have to go to this value here. If I use one endpoint integration, I have to get here. If I take, but so just the endpoint. If I take one Gaussian point, I need, in fact, chemical accuracy over here, but I need to calculate the value over here. And now, if I need to take 2 points, the endpoint plus 1 point, I calculate it. I have chemical accuracy here, but I need to calculate also here the value, at this value. So, okay, now helium atom. So don't have this spin polarization problem. And you look that LDA has this kind of oscillation here. And these are not so good here. So they are, you see this kind of stabilization, but it's not so good. So say LDA is also good. So as well, I can take a larger mu zero and work with LDA. But let us take H2. And you see LDA, these curves tend to stay, while this curve starts going away. H minus, it goes away even more. Beryllium with a pseudo potential, all two electron systems, which you, I have a priori no reason to say that. These curves more or less stay here while this goes, starts going away more and more. And if I now take the triplet state of H2 at 3 times equilibrium distance of the ground state, LDA starts getting totally off, and this curve still stays reasonable. Now, that's the ground state for the hydrogen molecule at the same distance, 3 times equilibrium distance. So it's again LDA. Well, would give you essentially the same thing. It's dissociated hydrogen molecule. So it's size consistent. It's LDA here. It's essentially the same. And these curves are also essentially the same as for the triplet. So these are. Now, I take the state Evertian has been shown now, the first excited singlet state. It has an outer minimum, which was also discussed yesterday. And LDA has now the error of the opposite sign, but these curves also stay more or less stable up to a certain distance and then blow away. So for the triplet and singlet, I can define spin polarization. But how do I define spin polarization for such a system to get things right? I don't know. I don't know what this should be here. So let us look now at energy differences. Well, things are for the electron affinity of the hydrogen atom. Ionization potential of helium. The endpoint and LDA just went out of the plot. Dissociation energy of hydrogen too. So difference H3 from the equilateral to linear conformation. So here, you see here, suddenly LDA becomes good. So it's here, for this system, it's better to use LDA as it is. But singlet triplet excitation energy. Singlet excitation energy. Well, so now I conclude this.
1 minute.
1 minute. Okay, so but look, I'm good. No, it's fine. So what I say, it's what I call this is a DFT, because I'm doing what's the philosophy, how I understand DFT, but without using density functionals. It's valid for ground state and for excited states. It has no inherent size consistency issue. Of course, if I make size consistency error, it's a slight size consistency in the construction of them, then I will have it. And this practical seems as it's a way to get systematic type of errors, less erratic than LDA. Short range LDA, which LDA is quite good, it's better than for short range treatment. LDA is practically as good as the gradient corrections. The corrections which you obtain by gradient correction are minimal. So is the effort larger or smaller than with the Schrodinger equations? It depends, I don't know. You see, I started with the idea that I solve the models exactly and I don't care about it. It was more expensive. My calculation was more expensive. It depends all on this model. I didn't study the role of the, so there was no role, the role of the Bayes set. So orbital or determinant. How it works for larger system, no idea. So I'm interested now in other technical techniques, extrapolations. One could choose other parts to extrapolate, because in such thing you can do like in DFT, so approximate only exchange correlation. Other Hamiltonian, and why not go back to density functional theory and start constructing density functionals respecting these types of conditions. So acknowledgement, well, I don't know who knows. So he's one. These are people with whom I had just discussion, and they said the right word at the right moment. Maybe criticism, maybe. So I don't have now time to detail this, but so the first person is in statistical mechanics. And so here's what I did. Thank you very much.
I can speak loud enough, I think.
No?
I can
have a suggestion and two questions, so maybe I will start with a simple question. What is the origin of those wiggles on your plants?
Which wiggles? Are there small wiggles? I think my opinion is there is something which is related to the, might be related to the convergence of the code, but I think it might be also related to Mathematica interpolation. Mathematica, I use Mathematica, and Mathematica is not doing the interpolations properly. And I am kind of, I said, I don't care. No, there are wiggles. I'm the chemical accuracy. Maybe it's just an enlargement I made, and I have to push things, and I'm not interested in. So I would be tempted to publish it this way.
Okay, and now it's a suggestion and also a question concerning your numerical quadrature that you are using. Because I understand that you assume asymptotic behavior, which is a correct one, 1 over mu to a third power, and set up your numerical quadrature in such a way that for that class of functions you get that result. If you try the following thing, assume the asymptotics of a form A over B plus mu to a third power, and then set up integration in such a way that you get correct results for that, then probably would solve a lot of problems for me.
Yes, but I tried that. I thought about this, but I'm not clear about it because of the size consistency.
Exactly, that's my question. Because even if you have size consistent derivatives, that does not mean that after doing numerical quadrature, you are going to obtain size consistent energies. Even with those schemes, because you have to calculate those values as certain values of chemical potential.
That's not the chemical potential. These are numbers, the range. Yes. Well, just wait out. It was.
And mu is universal.
Mu
does not depend on the system.
Does not depend on the system. It's just one number I choose. So people choose is 0.5 for when they do. So Janos Angian he did not speak about this, but he's someone who did calculation of this step where you use. He introduced 0.5, and many people now use 0.5. And
so we are stuck with numerical quadratures of linear type.
I think so. Or maybe it's possible to fix this, but you fix then you have not A over B plus this, but A over 1 plus something like that.
Last question, but brief.
Can you use also the next leading term because it's known that then there is 1 over mu to the third and 1 over mu to the fourth?
Yes, so in fact, yes, there is, in fact, you see, the one quadrature goes to 1 to the mu to the fifth. Yes, you have seen it, which is corresponding. So this, you see here, this quadrature is correct to mu to the fifth. But in fact, you are right, the mu to the third and the mu to the fourth are in fact coupled. And so if I make the separation with exchange correlation, I could put 1 point for having mu to the third and mu to the fourth together. So I didn't show it. It was one of the attempts I made, and I said, maybe I try to keep this presentation simple. But I think you can do it.
OK. I think I have to stop here and move on to the next talk.